ZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. There's a looming possible partial government shutdown at the end of the week. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio has more on President Trump's comments aboard Air Force One.
The House is expected to vote tomorrow on a Trump-endorsed bill to keep the government funded through September. Support for the bill still unclear. Trump acknowledging a government shutdown
could happen. It shouldn't have happened, and it probably won't.
Trump defending his trade policy after days of back and forth on tariffs.
It's going to make our country rich again.
Analysts warn importers typically pass along a share of those added costs to consumers.
Canada's next prime minister will deal with those tariffs. He is Mark Carney, a former central banker who won the Liberal Party election in a landslide. Israel has cut off electricity to Gaza, the move affecting a desalination plant, meaning drinking water for part of the territory completely shut off. Israel trying to force Hamas into extending phase one of the ceasefire. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anytime at the WISS website at WISS.FM.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. One of the great things about hosting Nightlight, getting recommendations from guests I have on the show. Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel was on the show last week, and we were talking about Parasite director Bong Joon-ho's new film. Chris recommended another of his films made in 2006 called The Host, a thriller about a slimy sea creature created from hazardous waste tossed into a river in Korea. If you like suspense and don't mind subtitles, check it out. Even though the Frasier reboot was canceled, Frasier himself says it's not only coming back for season 3, but will bring extra star power. Paramount Plus pulled the plug after season 2, but Kelsey Grammer says a different network will no doubt pick it up. The Emmy-winning actor added that the executive at Paramount Plus, who gave the green light, left and took all the support for the show with him. Grammer says it will be back, and possibly with Ted Danson returning as Sam Malone. Nice to see Ted finally getting some TV work. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Back-to-back losses for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing to the first-place Cavaliers 112-100. The night before, they lost to the Orlando Magic. That's back-to-back losses at home for the Bucks. Head coach Doc Rivers.
I thought the difference in the two teams' trust ball movement was visual. You know, we've had it. We've lost it the last couple of games, and we got to get it back.
The Bucks have the night off before heading to Indianapolis. College basketball. The Badgers draw the 5 seed. They'll play Thursday at the Big Ten tournament after losing at home to Penn State. Greg Gard.
Credit to them. We got to regroup here and dust ourselves off, and this one stings for our seniors and for our fans, and not the performance that we wanted nor desired.
Marquette plays Xavier Thursday in the Big East tournament. The Brewers gave up a pair of triples in the 8th inning, losing to the Royals 5-2 in Arizona. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could, just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
It's Motown Mondays. We have Stephen Williams, owner of Blue Book, discussing debtors' recent arrests. We'll also welcome Dr. Anthony Eastreet, CEO of the National Association of Social Workers. Stay tuned.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Lots of sunshine today, becoming breezy by later this afternoon. We'll get to 65 for a high. The wind southwest 5 to 15 this morning, gusting to 25 to 30 here by this afternoon. A cold front comes through tonight, 33. Tomorrow, sunny and not windy, 43. But we're back to the 50s and 60s by later this week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Matt Nair on air.
Will Westmoreland is joining us now. He is a farmer in southwestern Missouri.
This is an 80-20 Republican area down here. You can't throw a rock without hitting a Republican. And I still know all the guys I graduated with. So I always ask, don't admit you were wrong. Just admit you were lied to. That's a lot easier to do. If you just admit you were lied to, you can get over here with us and start working to fight the problem.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Hey, everybody. I've got an off day coming up, but don't worry. We've got you covered. We'll be chatting with Mark Pocan at 3 o'clock about the Elon Act. Do we really want billionaire overlords controlling our government?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
The Zone.
Well, we're looking at a record-breaking Monday on the way around Wisconsin. Come on in, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yakubel ready to light this firecracker. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Happy to report to you today that we could be looking at record-breaking temperatures. Sunshine on the way. Believe it or not, we're looking at daytime highs today near 68. That means that we could shatter some records across the state. Winds today out of the southwest, about 5 to 10 miles an hour, but it will increase with gusts up to 30 miles an hour that you might notice. Tonight, clear, down to about 38. Tomorrow, sunny and 47. Wednesday, sunny and 57. Thursday, sunny and 64 degrees. Yeah, you're right. It is the 10th day of March. Unbelievable weather on the way. We'll get more details on that from Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist. Thanks so much to all of you that joined us on Saturday for the Testicle Festival in Springfield Corners. If you haven't gotten a chance to check out our fabulous Farm Babe or Midwest Farm Report Facebook pages, you'll notice some videos and pictures that we posted from that fun event. So glad that those folks had us. Now, we also were on the road Friday. The announcement of the six finalists that want to become Wisconsin's next agriculture ambassador as our Alice in Dairyland. Stephanie Hoff was there. Details again up at MidwestFarmReport.com. And we'll talk with Haley Heinzel, who is our current Alice in Dairyland, about what those candidates are going to be doing in the next few months.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
As the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin, Rural Mutual Insurance is rewarding their farm policyholders for their loyalty and commitment to Wisconsin agriculture through their Farm Dividend Program. The Farm Dividend pays up to 5% back on your farm premium. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn how you could qualify.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Much like at the national government level, the Midwest Food Products Association is also going through changes, with the new president, Nick Novak. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo. Now, I was able to catch up with Novak to discuss how his first couple months have gone as being president of the association, as well as some of the key issues that he hopes to resolve during his time as president.
Well, let me tell you, it's just been really great to get all around the Midwest and meet with our food manufacturers in, you know, every part of Wisconsin, Illinois, Minnesota. Just getting to know all the different products that we grow and that we make here in these states. You know, the Midwest is an amazing place for the food industry. And the first couple months on the job have really just been getting to know our members, getting to understand the products that we make, and trying to understand the issues and challenges that they're facing. You know, we're going to talk about a number of those here, but it's just been good to be, you know, at the facilities and getting to know our members, it's been a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to getting more into the issues and getting to know more of our members. Obviously, we'll have harvest season and kind of the pack coming up later this year. That'll be interesting to see all the great vegetable processors that we have in the Midwest. And so, you know, I had a lot of familiarity with manufacturing, but I'm now really getting in the weeds of food processing in the food manufacturing industry, and it's been a great ride for the first couple months.
On your first go around here, when you are talking to these manufacturers and producers, what are some of those key topics that they are really worried about or really want to make sure you know about?
Well, there's a number of challenges. I think when you talk to any business, but, you know, especially in the food and ag industry, you know, workforce is continuing to be a big challenge. Just, you know, not only trying to, you know, hire people and find people to fill the jobs that are open, but really that retention and making sure that you're able to have a workforce that is ready, that is able to do the things that you need. So, you know, workforce workforce is a big issue that we continue to hear from our members. And then also looking at the environmental and regulatory challenges that our businesses face in the Midwest and the different states. You know, we at MWFPA continue to work with our partners at state agencies to ensure that our members have a voice with them, whether it's DNR here in Wisconsin or, you know, one of the many other agencies that we work with across the Midwest. You know, we want to continue to make sure that industry and government are working together so that these businesses can continue to operate here in the Midwest and make the food that we all eat. So, you know, workforce, regulatory, environmental challenges. Obviously, there's some big changes going on at the federal level right now. And so we've had a lot of conversations about tariffs, about some of the other regulatory items that are either were proposed by President Biden or something that's going to change under President Trump. And so, you know, we continue to listen to our members and we'll be ready to stand up as their advocate whenever needed.
Well, and as we look at some of those federal changes, obviously one of those is the mass deportation that Trump is trying to put in place. Have you noticed any of the people that you've talked to, whether it be the manufacturers or the producers, having any difficulty with that or worries about their workforce, their labor force there?
You know, that was a big topic that I brought up with all the members that I went to visit over the last couple months, because as you point out, it was clearly top of mind for many people in the industry and really around the country. We have not heard of any major challenges. We are routinely working with our national partners and a lot of the folks here at the state level as well to ensure that we're getting information out to our members, you know, in case there is an issue. But so far, we think that from an immigration standpoint, we haven't heard any major challenges with businesses of whether it be folks not showing up to work or whether there be agents showing up anywhere. You know, we have not heard of any of these situations that I think have been talked about a lot, whether it's in the news or other media outlets that are out there. We haven't seen that just yet from our membership.
Another federal thing that is on top of everyone's mind currently is obviously the tariffs, especially in the processing industry, canning industry with aluminum. And I know when I talked to the last president, Jason Kalata, he was saying that there's already a shortage of where the industry can get the aluminum for the cans. How is it affecting the overall industry now that there is that big tariff on it?
Well, first and foremost, I do want to point out that I understand what President Trump is trying to do by creating a level playing field for the United States when it comes to international trade, you know, especially when it comes to China. You know, they for decades have not been playing by the rules, and it's been to the detriment of American industries. And so I certainly can understand what President Trump wants to do when it comes to putting these tariffs in and utilizing them as a negotiating tactic. But at the end of the day, when they get implemented, when you have a 25% tariff on steel and aluminum, you know, that's going to increase the cost for canned goods. And, you know, when you think about a can of whether it's green beans or corn or any other product, typically roughly 40%, close to half of the cost of that product that you're purchasing at the grocery store is the actual can. And so when you're putting a 25% tariff on, you know, some of the products that we have to source outside of the United States because it simply does not, you know, the supply chain does not exist within the United States, it's going to make canned goods more expensive. And that's something that we have big concerns about. You know, millions of people rely on canned vegetables, for a healthy and nutritious shelf-stable item that they always have in their pantry. And we obviously want that to continue, and we don't want to see costs go up. And so we do have some concerns about those tariffs and have made it known to the president and the administration. We sent a letter. We've been working to our national partners to talk about some of these unintended consequences. And back to my point about you know, trying to compete with China, you know, one of the unintended consequences is that by raising the cost of canned goods that are, you know, that are produced here in the United States, it actually opens the door for cheaper imports from places like China that can end up in our school cafeterias and end up in, you know, on our grocery shelves and ultimately on all of our plates. And so, you know, we hope that the president will continue to listen to industry on potentially making some changes to the Section 232 tariffs as it relates to steel and aluminum, because ultimately, again, I understand his goals and what he's trying to do, but we really do want to make sure that, you know, we're not doing it to the detriment of the food manufacturing industry here in the Midwest.
When we take a look at where the industry gets its aluminum from, where are those top countries that you guys are bringing in that metal?
I mean, it's coming from a variety of different places overseas, traditionally some parts of Europe, some parts of Asia. But the reason that we're bringing the steel to actually be manufactured into cans for the most part here in the United States is that the supply chain for tin milled steel and the aluminum that's used is not available in the United States. And so back in 2018, when President Trump in his first term implemented these tariffs that obviously, you know, stayed in effect under President Biden, since that time in 2018, we've actually lost the number of tin mill steel lines that are here in the United States. So 9 of them have been shut down while these tariffs have been in effect. And so, you know, we really need to look at these unintended consequences that happen. And, you know, I can't say enough that we understand what the president wants to do, but, you know, ultimately there are some major challenges that industry will face because of it, and ultimately it'll result in higher costs.
With the wild first couple months as president of the Midwest Food Products Association, Novak is excited to continue to fight for the industry to make sure it stays strong for the foreseeable future. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Ready. While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Top craft pick creators include Fifth Ward Brewing Company in Oshkosh, New Denmark Brewing, Duck Creek Distillery and Winery in Denmark, and Captain's Walk Winery in Green Bay. Vote for your favorite now by logging on WISS.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. When you vote, you'll enter a random drawing to win $250 in gift cards from participating craft creators. Don't wait. Voting ends Friday, April 18th. Log on WISS.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick and vote right now. Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time.
Do you know or work with kids who have special health care needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
a new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
Mino and the Mayor.
On Monday's show, we'll get a gorgeous forecast from Brittany Merlot, and Heidi Yonke is in with the Lifelong Learning Institute at UW Green Bay.
Plus, Chris Nealis stops by from the Old B Brew House in Appleton with the Mino and the Mayor top craft pick. Join us.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
A historical day as far as temperatures are concerned around the state of Wisconsin. At least that's the forecast in front of me. Let's find out now. Compere Financial brings you your ag weather update on a Monday. Compere Financial, your financial partner, committed to agriculture in rural America. Find more at compere.com. Be sure to check under the events tab for all the great webinars they've got coming up. Stumach Ag Meteorologist joining us on a Monday morning. Record-breaking day coming our way, all in the positive, right?
Absolutely, Pam. I mean, we're talking 60s anywhere in Wisconsin. It may be low 60s in the far northwest and very upper 60s in the far south. A very mild pattern is in store, and it all has to do with the system, a little low that's off to our north, a cool front that will not pass through Wisconsin until very late afternoon or evening in the far northwest. Southeast Wisconsin, that front drops through by later tonight. A big thing that's going to happen is a colder air mass drops right in behind the really mild temperatures we have today. All right, colder air mass, temps back to normal, a little bit above tomorrow, and then we continue to ramp it up after that. But it is a big temperature change. I mean, we'll drop a good 20 degrees or more between today and tomorrow, but even that drop still above normal. There's no precipitation, no threat of a major storm or anything with that temperature change. Temps just drop off. They ramp it up by Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Some rain finally entering the forecast when we look at the end of the week, a little later Friday or on towards Saturday. Before that, this sounds like a fantastic March week. Great time to be outdoors and find where things have thawed and gotten a little muddy. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Your farm is more than land. It's a legacy. But do you have a plan for its future? Join Compere Financial's AgriMindset Transition Planning Webinar on March 12th at 1 p.m. Estate planning attorney Brooke Didier-Starks will share practical steps to get started and tackle the tough questions with Dr. Megan Roberts, Compere Ag Economist, guiding the conversation. Take the next step. Register now for the March 12th webinar at Compere.com/webinar.
Are you being offered a complete seed treatment package? If your seed treatment doesn't help against soybean diseases like white mold, sudden death syndrome, and rhizoctonia, then it's not complete. Heads Up Seed Treatment offers protection against all of these diseases through its unique mode of action, systemic acquired resistance. Get the best defense against the unpredictability of each season by completing your seed treatment package with Heads Up. Visit headsupst.com to learn more.
All right, buddy, let's have that forecast. This is kind of crazy this week. I mean, record-breaking and not by just a little, huh?
Nope, that's for sure. I mean, today's sunny skies, it gets a bit more breezy. There'll be low 60s in the south. We could top out near 68 in the south. That's Madison, Milwaukee. Southwest wind strong, though, 10 to 20. You'll even gust around 30. Overnight, we stay relatively clear. More clouds in northern Wisconsin. But here's where temps start to fall. Down toward the low 30s in the north, upper 30s south. South winds become west, about 5 to 15. Mostly sunny Tuesday, cooler like we talked about. Maybe an upper 30 in the north to the mid-40s south. The north winds 5 to 15. And Wednesday, mostly sunny. More likely that pattern in the 50s, mid-50s in the south. Southeast winds at 5. So very mild, and we ought to see 60s again in the south by Thursday.
Now, you don't see anything drastically changing like, say, next week. What's the 10-day? I mean, is this going to suddenly leave us?
Oh, we cool it off a little bit to wrap up the weekend after that rain chance I mentioned coming in later Friday into Saturday. Temps will be cooler, probably below normal Sunday, but we should improve again once we get next week underway.
Huh, interesting. All right, my friend, very good. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks, Stu.
You bet. See ya.
Stumach, our ag meteorologist, with the weather details you're looking for, brought to you this morning courtesy of Compere Financial. Compere Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. Again, their website, Compere.com. WeatherTech.com. As we roll our way through on Monday, of course, your weather observations are always welcome here. Our talk text line is live, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Also want to remind you, the National Weather Service is asking all of you to become a part of their rainfall weather observers. Rain Gauge Rally 2025 is underway. You can sign up today and be a part of the citizen scientists that they depend on. Go to WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org. WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
From Oshkosh to Neenah, this is 98.3 WISS.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. In a brief to the North Carolina Court of Appeals, a bipartisan group of former county election directors urged the court to reject a claim that as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible last November. And a former state Supreme Court justice is arguing in another appeals case that gerrymandering by the state legislature is akin to stuffing the ballot box. We followed the claims from state Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin that as many as 65,000 registered eligible voters had incomplete registrations in a race he lost by 734 votes to incumbent Justice Allison Riggs. The race is the only unresolved election in the country. In late February, a bipartisan group of 42 former county election directors filed a brief outlining why the voters should be considered valid and concluding, "The citizens of North Carolina who obey the laws and the direction of the elections administrators should not have their votes discarded." In another North Carolina case, former state Supreme Court Justice Bob Orr is arguing in state appeals court that the legislature's gerrymandered voting districts manipulate election outcomes. By packing voters by party into a district, he argues, it violates the state constitution's guarantee of free elections with a fair count. Orr told the Charlotte News and Observer, "If they can't stuff the ballot box, how can they stuff the voter pool?" We have more on both cases at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hi, Chef Grunder. Let's dive right into the machine shed. Fridays here mean all you care to have fried or broiled North Atlantic cod. Or try our bone-in seasoned catfish, lightly fried. More of a salmon lover? Choose between the machine shed's white wine sauce or apple bourbon glaze. Our sautéed savory shrimp will satisfy your taste buds with Old Bay seasoning and Asiago cheese. All great choices. Join us this Friday or every Friday for seafood worth savoring at the shed.
Fox River Drive, Appleton.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. There's a looming possible partial government shutdown at the end of the week. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio has more on President Trump's comments aboard Air Force One.
The House is expected to vote tomorrow on a Trump-endorsed bill to keep the government funded through September. Support for the bill, still unclear. Trump acknowledging a government shutdown
could happen. It shouldn't have happened, and it probably won't.
Trump defending his trade policy after days of back and forth on tariffs.
It's going to make our country rich again.
Analysts warn importers typically pass along a share of those added costs to consumers.
Canada's next prime minister will deal with those tariffs. He is Mark Carney, a former central banker who won the Liberal Party election in a landslide. Israel has cut off electricity to Gaza, the move affecting a desalination plant, meaning drinking water for part of the territory completely shut off. Israel trying to force Hamas into extending phase one of the ceasefire. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There might be a little trouble on Planet Netflix. Despite record gains last year, the streaming platform that seems to keep adding viewers and raising prices all at the same time saw its stock go down 8.5%, according to Variety, due to what most analysts are calling slower subscriber growth and a broader market reaction to President Trump's indecision on tariffs on Canada and Mexico. I know acting pretty much sounds like a cushy gig to most people outside the biz, but during an appearance on Jimmy Kimmel Live last week, actor Walton Goggins told the story of how he was bitten by a snake while filming episode 3 of season 3 of The White Lotus. The irony was that the snake was supposed to bite his co-star, Amy Lou Wood, who plays his girlfriend on the show. Macho Man Goggins owned up, though, and says he didn't exactly play it cool. Instead, he yelled, "Oh my God, I got bit by a snake," repeatedly in front of everyone. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Back-to-back losses for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing to the first-place Cavaliers 112-100 the night before they lost to the Orlando Magic. As back-to-back losses at home for the Bucks, head coach Doc Rivers.
I thought the difference in the two teams' trust ball movement was visual. You know, we've had it. We've lost it the last couple of games, and we got to get it back.
The Bucks have the night off before heading to Indianapolis. College basketball, the Badgers draw the 5 seed. They'll play Thursday at the Big Ten tournament after losing at home to Penn State. Greg Gard.
Credit to them. We got to regroup here and dust ourselves off, and this one stings for our seniors and for our fans, and not the performance that we wanted nor desired.
Marquette plays Xavier Thursday in the Big East tournament. The Brewers gave up a pair of triples in the 8th inning, losing to the Royals 5-2 in Arizona. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, if America alienates its allies, how will that affect us here in Wisconsin? Retired Major General Randy Manner joins us. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Lots of sunshine today, becoming breezy by later this afternoon. We'll get to 65 for a high. The wind southwest 5 to 15 this morning, gusting to 25 to 30 here by this afternoon. A cold front comes through tonight, 33. Tomorrow, sunny and not windy, 43. But we're back to the 50s and 60s by later this week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Nerds, it's time to come together. I'm Amanda Nimmer, bringing you your new Wisco 411, and this is your time to rise, because one of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming February 1st through April 27th, showcasing iconic characters, vehicles, memorable scenes from the franchise. There are 142 collected items, including a life-size land speeder. Get your tickets for the Multicultural Center's Unofficial Galaxies from February till the end of April.
Celebrate the women who have helped shape the world as we honor Women's History Month with powerful stories of Wisconsin's own. We remember the legacy of Val Phillips, the trailblazing civil rights leader. He's also the first African-American woman elected to the Wisconsin State Assembly. Phillips was born in Milwaukee, and though she faced both racial and gender barriers, she remained strong in her fight for equality. She helped pass groundbreaking laws to desegregate public housing while also fighting for voting rights. Her courage and determination wasn't just for Wisconsin, but for the nation. And Phillips' legacy continues to inspire those who believe in justice, showing that one voice can spark change. These are the stories continuing to inspire all of us every day. And as we honor them, we will also recognize the powerful women who are still writing history. I'm Terry Barr.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. Officials in Little Chute have removed more than 90 dead ducks from a storm pond, the likely culprit, bird flu. That comes after hundreds of rare red-breasted mergansers were found either dead or sick along Lake Michigan. Meantime, Wisconsin will start sampling milk at dairy farms to test for the virus. Fears that protections for our Great Lakes and more will be on the chopping block after EPA Director Lee Zeldin announced plans to cut the agency by 65%. The EPA oversees bedrock safeguards like the Clean Water Act, Safe Drinking Water Act, and Clean Air Act. It's unclear how those protections will remain enforced if deep cuts happen. For a deep dive into environmental issues and what you can do to protect Wisconsin's water, air, and land, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies. And it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up. Because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
So I'm not in competition then potentially, right, with...
Markets are still focused in on the tariffs as we start our Monday. But you know what? We have had good export activity for U.S. pork and beef, especially going to Central America. But there's another issue that the meat industry's got to keep an eye on. What plants in the United States are currently certified to send product to places like Central America, Mexico, Canada, even China? Dan Hallstrom, president and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, says many of our plants have not yet been certified. That's a little odd. Talking about that as we roll our way through the morning. It is the 10th day of November. What can I tell you? On this day back in 1876, the first telephone call was made. Many of us have heard this story. Alexander Graham Bell said, "Mr. Watson, come here. I want to see you." He was talking to his assistant, Thomas Watson, that was in the very next room. On this day in 2000, the dot-com bubble burst. Bad day on Wall Street. The NASDAQ composite stock market peaked at 5,408.6 before the dot-com bubble burst. Took a lot of investors out of the marketplace. That was on this day back in 2000. Lots of happy birthdays today. Happy birthday to Emily Osment. She's one of the Hannah Montana girls. She turns 33. Olivia Wilde, 41 today. Actor John Hamm turns 54. Sharon Stone, she's 67. And Chuck Norris, that guy's still clicking along. He turns 85 today. And now you know. Well, we also know the six finalists to become our next Wisconsin Agriculture Ambassador, Alice in Dairyland. The six include Allison Foster from Waupun, Michelle Stangler from Watertown, Michaela Flight from Coloma, Natalie Rowe from Monticello, Olivia Lulich from Linden Station, Sarah Hagenow from Poinette. Our current Alice in Dairyland, Haley Heinzel, was on hand in Prairie du Chien as Crawford County gets ready to host the finale event. That's going to be May 15th through the 17th. It's been a wonderful year for her, and she describes what the candidates are going to be going through over the next few weeks.
It's actually very, very exciting. I think for most people, it would not be quite so exciting. But, you know, every year, Alice is a different person. And the great thing about that is you get to tell your own unique story as Alice in Dairyland. I'm really excited to go on this journey with these six top candidates. It wasn't too long ago I was on a similar journey myself to becoming Alice. I'm really excited to see how they grow in this role and really flourish into all wonderful, great agricultural ambassadors and eventually meeting the 78th Alice in Dairyland.
You know, I asked all of the top candidates how they are going to prepare for this type of job interview. So the Alice in Dairyland Top Candidate Experience, it's known as one of the toughest job interviews around. We're talking a couple of months of hardcore learning and preparation.
So it is a several-month-long process. Now, starting from today, press briefing, next Monday, we're starting marketing communications trainings with our top candidates. They get a marketing and communications certificate through the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protections. And through that, they're doing different classes. I call it Alice in Dairyland School. But they tune in every week. They're learning from our program partners. They're learning from people directly in the department about really how to talk about agriculture, not only as Alice, but just as a person, as an ambassador for the industry. They're also having to turn in weekly assignments that will eventually be judged by our panel of judges. And then prepping for that, you know, three-day partially public job interview is stressful enough on its own. And many of these girls, they have jobs, they have their college careers that they're working at the same time. So it's a lot of juggling of different things and priorities, but I'm really excited to see how they take on the challenge.
Give us a sample of what some of the homework looks like.
I can't tell you too many things because some of it is confidential, but there's a lot of things that you would see Alice doing in her day-to-day life. Sample social media posts or videos, writing blogs and articles, things like that. So things you'd see Alice doing day in and day out. They're also going to be prepping some really exciting stuff for the finals that is going to be available for everyone to view if they come to the finals May 15th to the 17th here in Crawford County.
Now, Crawford County, this is the host county for this year. So is there, what are some of the elements that are Crawford County specific that we can look forward to as people watching the process or that the candidates get to look forward to?
Not only is Crawford County's agriculture industry so diverse, especially because of that really unique driftless area geography, we see a lot of pasture-based animal livestock and also a lot of apple orchards, which is pretty neat. But we also get to have that history of Crawford County. Perdue Sheen is one of the oldest cities in Wisconsin. And so that intersection of agriculture and industry and people is really cool to see here in Crawford.
What are you most looking forward to out of this experience with, you know, the top candidates that you're now shepherding?
It's really exciting to be on the other side of the role as more of a mentor and help pass on the knowledge that I've gained as Alice. Alice really does change you as a person. Looking back at the videos from my own press briefing, I'm a completely different person in the best way. I've grown so much. And you grow so much from now just through finals and then from finals on as Alice. And I'm really, really excited to be able to pass that on to the next Alice in Dairyland. And I know that she's going to take on the role very well. If anyone has any more curiosities about Alice in Dairyland or that process, you can follow along on Alice in Dairyland on Facebook and Instagram. We'll be posting updates about the candidates, about myself. You can also head to aliceindairyland.com to look for more finals information.
That a girl, Haley. Haley Heinzel, our current Alice in Dairyland, describing what will be happening with those six finalists over the course of the next few weeks. Find more details now at MidwestFarmReport.com. Markets are next.
In our world of agriculture, weather conditions rule our workday. The Midwest Farm Report and the National Weather Service are recruiting citizen scientists to help keep an eye on Mother Nature. You can help by taking real-time weather observations and alerting the National Weather Service about severe weather occurring where you are. Everyday people such as yourself play a vital role in protecting lives and property. To find out how you can become a citizen scientist, visit WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org.
Your farm is more than land. It's a legacy. But do you have a plan for its future? Join Compeer Financial's AgriMindset Transition Planning Webinar on March 12th at 1 p.m. Estate planning attorney Brooke Didier-Starks will share practical steps to get started and tackle the tough questions with Dr. Megan Roberts, Compeer Ag Economist, guiding the conversation. Take the next step. Register now for the March 12th webinar at compeer.com/webinar.
Despite the tariffs, our meat market is still moving pretty well for beef and pork, especially those targeting Central America. Dan Hallstrom, president and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, says that the fourth quarter of 2024, first quarter 2025 look pretty good for both. But he notes that there's quite a few plants out of the United States that are scheduled to be renewed for their eligibility in terms of registration to send meat into other countries. Right now, he says, many have not renewed, and he said that's a little bit odd, but something they'll be monitoring. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning are currently a little bit on the negative side. Right now, we're looking at December new crop corn down 2 at 452. November new crop beans are down 4 at 1022. The wheat is up 3 at 568. On Friday, barrel cheese dropped 2.5 cents to 163. 40-pound block cheese was down a half at 162.25, while AA butter gained a penny at 231 a pound. April Class 3 milk that goes into cheese down 6 this morning at 1714 a hundredweight.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
Welcome to the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
Nothing you could say could tear me away from my dog. My dog is shallow, y'all. Hi, I'm Smokey Robinson. When you adopt a shelter pet, you not only bring joy and love into your home, you also give another animal the chance to experience that special bond. Join me in supporting American Humane Society and their incredible work to help our most vulnerable friends. Together, we can make a real difference. Donate today at AmericanHumane.org.
Ready for the April election? Here's a special invitation for you. Join the free Protecting Justice for All conversation about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race Wednesday, March 12th from 5 till 7 p.m. at the Overture Center in Madison.
Up North News radio host Pat Kreitlow, Civic Media's Todd Alba and Dan Schaefer will lead a guest discussion about the economy, education, environment, and more. Then stay for the candidates' debate watch party.
Attend in person or listen to live coverage from the Overture Center in Madison Wednesday night, March 12th from 5 till 7 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Can our NATO allies continue to rely on the United States under President Trump? What is your take, Professor Barrington?
The conversation had been going into Friday. Can Europe just get a seat at the table for these negotiations? The right question now is, can Europe build a new table?
Mm.
And I think that's where they are. February 28th, 2025 is going to be remembered as, a pretty key date.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on WFHR.com/contest-terms. Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on WISS.FM/contest-terms.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Wisconsin actor Dan Davies. And then we talk a little fantasy baseball with WGBW's own Peter Van Doren. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
This is the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
Member, he tells me he just received his 5-year pin being a part of the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin board. His name, Rick Roden, and he joins us from southeast Wisconsin. You're by the Saukville area, huh? Rick, tell us a little bit about the operation.
Yeah, from the Saukville West Bend area, or actually Washington County, but I represent the 8 southeast Wisconsin counties here in Wisconsin: Kenosha, Milwaukee, Ozaukee, Racine, Sheboygan, Washington, and Waukesha counties. But we have a dairy farm. We milk about 850 cows currently, right on the Ozaukee, Washington County line. So, yeah, family farm. My parents and I and my uncle all farm together here, and, yeah, we enjoy it.
Boy, that's got to be an interesting group of neighbors around you that are inquiring from time to time about what you're doing on the farm.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We actually offer my sister Jackie, Roden Barnett Adventures, egg tourism business, and we are inviting people out to the farm, I'd like to say year-round, because in the summertime we do day camps and a lot of school groups and different organizations, and in the wintertime we offer sleigh rides. So almost year-round we are inviting people out to our farm to teach them about agriculture and where their food comes from.
Yeah, pretty cool. A couple of YouTube videos that the farm has produced. Just a very interesting way to engage with them. Now, so you've been doing that on your own for a while. Why did you decide that you wanted to be a part of the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin board?
Yeah, I think being a part of Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, I just wanted to learn more about where our checkoff dollars are doing and have an active role in, you know, where they're going and what they're being utilized for. And then, you know, bringing that back home and being able to tell my story amongst the other farmers and that. I mean, one rule of thumb that we always use is the 90-90 rule. 90% of the milk in Wisconsin gets made into cheese, and 90% of the cheese gets exported outside of Wisconsin, you know. So to take some of that information and relay that message amongst our farmers and amongst everybody in Wisconsin, that we can be proud to live here and call ourselves America's Dairyland.
Yeah. What's been kind of the most striking stuff that you've learned, Rick, since you were seated on the board? I mean, obviously, I think every dairy farmer that's contributing thinks they know something about Wisconsin dairy, the powerhouse that it is. What are some of the things that kind of really resonate with you that have been an educational point on the board?
Yeah, I mean, it's a number of things, you know, where do you start, right? But all the different the programs that they offer, you know, whether it's the Adopt a Calf, you know, to get into schools to teach those kids about agriculture, whether it's the Art of Cheese Festival that they're going to be bringing back this fall. You know, there's just so many activities and programs that DFW is doing to promote Wisconsin cheese. And the big thing probably is, you know, to be looking for that badge, to get these cheese companies or these dairy companies that product that is made right here in Wisconsin, that they can put that badge, at Proudly Wisconsin Cheese or that Proudly Wisconsin Dairy badge on their product. And you can go anywhere in the U.S. or anywhere in the world for that matter and find that badge and know that you're getting a good, the best quality product from Wisconsin Milk.
Yeah, if you're just joining us, this is Rick Roden. He's a dairy producer himself. Like he said, District 18 is the group of counties that he represents, his dairy operation located in the Saukville area. Now, one of the ways that you continue to educate yourself, Rick, is by going to different shows where Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin's engaged with an audience that at first blush dairy farmers might not think about. Tell me about that fancy food show that you just got back from.
Yeah, yeah. So the middle of January, had the opportunity, a couple board of directors actually had the opportunity to go to Las Vegas to the Winter Fancy Food Show. And that was mind-blowing. I mean, it's a huge convention center and all types of food from around the world. And Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin had a bold presence there, big display. About 25 different cheese companies from Wisconsin were also there, some within the DFW booth. And, you know, it just made us proud as a dairy farmer that, you know, they have such a presence there at this food show and other food shows around the U.S. It made me proud as a farmer to be there representing DFW and, you know, even other industries or other exhibitors at the show. Oh, you're from Wisconsin. Here, you need to try this product. Is this any good? Or, you know, different butters or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, they did a really nice job, the team. The staff at DFW really promoting, fancying up the booth and, you know, doing a nice job getting cheese across the world, really.
Yeah, right. Well, and that's really what the goal of it is trying to drive business both domestically and internationally when it comes to our cheese. Did you feel the sales coming while you were there, Rick? Sometimes it happens almost just over a conversation at these shows.
Yeah, I mean, there is definitely a lot of conversations happening. I mean, we even had an evening out where we got a lot of the cheese processors along with the retailers, the buyers, you know, kind of get them in a room, get them comfortable and, you know, just start having those conversations. And, you know, one conversation leads to another and, you know, you hope to get more cheese and more dairy products and more stores across the U.S. and or across the world.
You mentioned, Rick, that you folks at Roden Dairy do a good job of trying to reach out to your non-farm neighbors, those consumers, and educate them about your operation. Did it feel like some of the same process when you're representing Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin at events like that?
Yeah, I think there's ties to all of that because, you know, ultimately we want to tell our story, the farm story, you know. Our history, our heritage, you know, where we came from, where we're going, what we're doing today, you know, that we're the good stewards for the land. We take care of our animals, you know? So yeah, it's a full circle, you know, whether we're talking to kids that are in school, you know, fourth graders, kindergartners, whatever it may be, or we're talking to adults, you may have to talk to them at a different level, but you know, to make them understand where their food comes from and the passion that we have for our cattle and our land.
Rick Roden's along with us, one of the board members for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. If you want to follow up and see their farm, learn a little bit more about what they do, their website, RodenEchoValley.com. Roden, R-O-D-E-N, EchoValley.com. And of course, if you want to find out about the great dairy products that Wisconsin produces and where it lands in the world, you can always take a look at WisconsinDairy.org. So now here we sit, Rick, with tariffs that are looming all around us as far as our international access, and there you sit on Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin board. Tell me a little bit about what you're still excited about going forward in the rest of 2025.
Yeah, I think we have a lot to be excited about. I mean, Wisconsin ranks number one in specialty cheeses and number five in the dairy exports for checkoff is clearly working, right? The cheese is going to go somewhere, right? You know, so people are going to want to continue to eating that high protein diet, good, good stuff for you. And if we can't sell it one place, we're going to look for another place to move that cheese.
Well, and like you said, when you visit with people outside of Wisconsin, all you have to do is say you're from Wisconsin, and they almost automatically think cheese, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I was even surprised at when we were in Vegas, you know, oh, you're from Wisconsin, try this, you know, and it's because we're from Wisconsin and they know that we have the best cheese in the world and the best dairy products in the world. You know, they respect us for that.
And I also want people to remember, it's not like Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin stands alone. They've got a lot of industry partnerships, the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture and others that are leaning in to keep that dairy product moving regardless of what's going on with tariffs or policy.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, lots of, you know, support with DATCAP and, you know, everybody to continue to move our cheeses.
Excellent.
And with our Wisconsin products.
Yep. And like he said, you know, once you say you're from Wisconsin, people generally automatically assume cheese, but that's not a reputation that was built overnight. Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin has been working on this for decades, and with the help of dairy farmers like Rick Roden, who's over in that West Bend area, they'll continue to work on those relationships, both domestically and internationally. You want to find out more about where the dairy checkoff dollars are being invested, the programs that they've generated, and the results that they're getting? WisconsinDairy.org.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for Matt and Air on Air.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
New tariffs on goods coming from Canada and Mexico may hurt U.S. farmers. That's next on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
A farm can be a wonderful place to grow up, but it can also be a dangerous place. Statistically, a child dies on a farm every 3 days somewhere in America. That needs to be fixed. Do whatever you can to make sure your kids keep safety top of mind, working or playing. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork, through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. President Trump's new tariffs on imports from Canada and Mexico worry ag interests in the U.S., particularly in border states. Walter Schweitzer is president of the Montana Farmers Union.
In Montana, we have a good working relationship with Canada. Most of our feeder calves go north to the border to be finished, fed out, and many of them come back to the United States to be processed. Most of our inputs for growing our feed come from Canada. So these tariffs would have a very adverse impact on the cattle ranchers in Montana.
Schweitzer was testifying at a recent hearing by a House Agriculture Subcommittee.
The U.S. is the largest beef exporter in the world. We're also one of the largest beef importers in the world. Tariffs hit us both ways on that.
Schweitzer says the tariffs also come at a bad time.
Right now, many farmers are going in to get their operating loans renewed. And the bankers are dismissing any support from the U.S. government. If you take that out of our bottom line, we're not going to get our loans renewed.
Schweitzer says U.S. farmers have a hard enough time trading with Canada already, and the new tariffs only make the situation worse. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Joining us next time, we'll take a look back at the news of the weekend and also discuss Ukraine, why what's happening there matters here in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could, just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Will Westmoreland is joining us now. He is a farmer in southwestern Missouri.
This is an 80-20 Republican area down here. You can't throw a rock without hitting a Republican. And I still know all the guys I graduated with. So I always ask, don't admit you were wrong. Just admit you were lied to. That's a lot easier to do. If you just admit you were lied to, you can get over here with us and start working to fight the problem.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. There's a looming possible partial government shutdown at the end of the week. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio has more on President Trump's comments aboard Air Force One.
The House is expected to vote tomorrow on a Trump-endorsed bill to keep the government funded through September. Support for the bill still unclear. Trump acknowledging a government shutdown
could happen. It shouldn't have happened, and it probably won't.
Trump defending his trade policy after days of back and forth on tariffs.
It's going to make our country rich again.
Analysts warn importers typically pass along a share of those added costs to consumers.
Canada's next prime minister will deal with those tariffs. He has Mark Carney, a former central banker who won the Liberal Party election in a landslide. Israel has cut off electricity to Gaza, the move affecting a desalination plant, meaning drinking water for part of the territory completely shut off. Israel trying to force Hamas into extending phase one of the ceasefire. This is ABC News. Under arrest in New York City, one of the